feet later with a west swell of 6 to 8 feet at 12 seconds. Showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms today, tonight, northwest winds 10 to 15 knots. Wind waves 2 to 3 feet with a west swell of 8 to 10 feet at 13 seconds. And on Sunday, the northwest winds 10 to 20 knots, wind waves 2 to 4 feet, west swell 7 to 9 feet at 13 seconds. Current temperatures, we have got Monterey is at 52 and so is Salinas. And in Watsonville, it's 50. We're at 51 degrees here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. The official time is 10:06. And 57 seconds on this Saturday, February 6, 2010. Up next, this Saturday special with MZ. He's in the studio with Zoltan. It's going to be quite a battle. David Corsi's on the line. Let's hit it.
Battle indeed, eh?
You know it.
Yeah, listen.
Battles
are... Do you think that we're overbuilding this thing, that we're building it up too much?
No, come on, man.
No, well, listen. I mean,
it's
I don't want people to get their hopes up and be disappointed. Now,
you're not in control of whether or not someone's disappointed or not. That's their problem.
Sure we are.
That's their problem.
No, no. If we put out good radio, they're going to not be
Well, this is good radio.
No matter what, it's going to be
good radio. We always do good radio.
Well, it's true. I mean, we couldn't have two better people, and we couldn't have two more opposite people.
I know.
In fact, truth be known, they are so opposite that it would have been impossible and ill-advised to have them in the same room together.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the re. It could have been David here and Zoltan somewhere else, or Zoltan here, which is what it is, what he is here, and David somewhere. By the way, can you pot up Dave and see if we can hear him?
Yeah, let's check it out.
Are you there, David?
David?
I hope I don't disappoint people.
Yeah, okay, good. Now, can...
That sounds...
I've always wanted to say, whenever I hear David, you know, through his... You know, contrapt his what we and he have set up together.
Mm-hmm.
He always sounds good but distant. Can you crank up his volume, or maybe David can crank up his own output?
I am a little able. Yeah, we've never calibrated the meters and stuff.
Okay.
So I can turn myself up as much as you want, but normally Don yells in my ear that I have gone distorted.
Yeah, oh, okay. There's a bit of a humming. But
well,
it doesn't
okay.
sound bad. I think we're
but
good.
But on the Comrex, the connecting device, the VU meter isn't moving at all.
Oh.
So I keep thinking one of these days I need to send you full level, and then at your end you need to back it down.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that might make it sound
well,
a lot
already
better.
It sounds way better to me.
Yeah.
Anyhow. So thank
okay,
you, Mickey.
Well, here we are.
Thank you, David.
Good.
And hi, Zoltan.
Good morning, MZ. Good morning, David. Good morning, everybody.
Okay. No, but speaking of good morning, why don't we just do it, you know, with the chorus?
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know.
Okay, in case you didn't believe that you're listening to the Saturday special, that should prove it. It's the official Saturday special music jingle, as we say in the business. Welcome to hour number one of the Saturday Crossfire special. We haven't done one of these in a long, long time. Man, those were the good days in the 90s when we used to do these quite regularly. Almost every Saturday special was one of these Crossfire type things.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Remember the good old days of the Saturday special in the 90s when we used to have those riveting Crossfire type shows? You know, epic programs like Dr. Wallach meets Dr. Monteith and David Corsi meets Rob Roberts? You don't hear shows like those too much these days because typically one party or the other is chicken bleep. But that's why you should make a special effort to catch the next KSCO special when What's Left Thursday brilliant unapologetic liberal host David Corsi emerges from Crossfire retirement to go head-to-head with passionate conservative Hungarian immigrant and man of many languages, skills, and emotions Zoltan Egarisi. this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on We Will Kill Ourselves, trying to find something these men agree on radio, AM 1080 KSCO.
Getting goosebumps. I'm so excited.
Are you excited, Zoltan Egarisi?
Yeah, I'll be doing my best.
Okay. Did you do any prep for this show?
No, I only have 4 pages, and I was painting things like that last night, so I didn't do much. You know?
And we didn't even talk about it, but just was just an idea. You should be on the Saturday special. And I said, well, yeah, but we shouldn't be on. You should be on the Saturday special. You're always very interesting, but wouldn't it be great if we could do a Saturday special with a point counterpoint type thing, because you'd never done that before.
Yeah, I think that would be interesting, because whenever I listen to these liberal brainwashing sessions, once in a while I switch to NBC or MSNBC. I just don't know how can people actually swallow all that garbage, you know. So
does David E. Corsi know how people can swallow that garbage? I mean, that's that stuff. David E. Corsi, are you there?
It's what I learned in church when I was a child.
Good.
What was that? I didn't hear all of that.
Yeah, when he was in a church when he was a child, he apparently heard a lot of garbage.
Oh. Okay. So anyhow, Nikki, I think I'm hearing that little high pitched tweet. Are people in the listening audience hearing that too? If it's not horrible, we'll just live with it. Okay. But maybe that's why David's levels are down typically during the week, because you don't.
It's not coming through on the return here, so.
Okay, alrighty.
I can back myself way down. Does it go away?
Not way down, just part way down. Yeah, okay. It went away. Oh, that's much better.
Okay.
Okay.
We can do whatever you like.
Bless you, David E. Corsi. Now I hear it again. But anyhow.
We can turn down here and turn up here. Does this do anything?
It's good enough.
That sounds good.
It's good enough.
Okay.
Let's start the program by giving a background of each of you. I think probably David may. I don't know. You're probably equally well known. Although David's done 2 hours in the afternoon for about a year before he switched to one day a week. Right, David?
It was something like that. Yeah.
Yep. And now you're doing the Thursday. Normally, once in a while, you know, you fill in for other hosts. But we've created a slot on KSCO that some listener won a contest by naming What's Left. Sort of a neat idea. I know it's not your favorite name. You have your own name. So you call it What's Left and something else, right?
The Hours of Reason.
Uh-huh. And that's from 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday on your favorite radio station and mine and Zoltan's and I think David's, but I'm not positive. AM 1080 KSCO. I've known David since probably 1995 or so. We met through a mutual friend, Doug Michaels, who was associated with, in fact, the co-founder of a company called Santa Cruz Operation. David used to, back in those days, put on big high-tech gatherings, right?
Yes.
Didn't you used to, like, trade
yes,
shows?
Yes, I used to do executive conferences.
Uh-huh.
For $3,000 and an invite, you could come.
Wow. And when did that stop and why? Because that sounds like a good business.
It was a good business, and I can't get into the why that it stopped, but it did. And I went over at one place. Then I went over to Upside Magazine to do the same thing. And eventually Upside ran into problems, and Upside eventually failed, and my conference business went with it.
Huh. Is that your cell phone? I hear a cell phone.
Yeah, that's my cell phone into the mic here.
Okay.
So, and I will turn it off as soon as I can get it out of my pocket.
Is that an iPhone like mine?
Yes. Well, it's an iPhone. I don't know if it's like yours or not.
Oh. Okay. Well, we're all, David and I have that in common with, you know, Dr. Future and, you know, other people. We're totally into high-tech stuff and... But in any case, this program is going to be point counterpoint. It's going to be a crossfire type program. We're going to discuss all kinds of issues regarding politics.
But before we get into that, I want to finish the introductions and the backgrounds of both David E. Corsi and Zoltan Egarisi. So, David, so let's see. You have a long history and background in radio. I think you were doing radio in Texas when you were like 15 years old or something. Am I right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And was it talk radio back then? Or were you
It started as a talk program. Then I got into news for many years. And then before I was leaving, or just before I left California, Texas for California, I was doing evenings on another station on 1080 KRLD in Dallas.
Oh, yes.
Doing call-in for 4 hours a night. And that was just brutal.
What do you mean brutal?
At the end of 4 hours on the second night, I had no voice left.
Oh, I see.
It was just painful.
It's hard enough to do 2 hours once a week for me. I don't know how you and Corey Gold do the 2 hours, you know,
at that point, I wasn't a very good talk show host, though popular in the news department. But in any case, I was just as happy I got to move out here.
What was it that got you to move out here?
Money.
Oh, what was it that got you interested in radio that you ended up on a radio station at the age of 15? I mean, that's sort of unusual.
Got involved in hobby radio. I guess you probably blame my Uncle Russ, the ham radio operator, who got me interested in radio generally. I then got interested in shortwave broadcasting, which 40 years ago was an exciting thing to be listening to, and went from there into radio. And at that point, the normal way to get into radio was as a kid, you know, showing up at a radio station.
Huh. Okay.
Don't do that now, but that's how I got started.
Well, you can do that here at this station, and you were able to do it back when I was a kid, though the managing partner didn't like that very much, so we sort of had to sneak in after hours and sort of watch the place operate. But in any case, there's something about radio that gets into your blood, and I understand that, and I guess you do too. That's David E. Corsi. And what is it that got you interested in – were your politics always pretty much the same, or have you changed over the years? Because
I've
changed over the years.
No, I've always been – well, yeah, you're a closet liberal, but I've been –
Well, do you think I used to be either a full liberal or a full conservative and who's become a closet liberal?
I don't know what you used to be.
But for as long as we've been acquainted, which is about 15 years now.
Well, I probably would not have said that you were a closet liberal 15 years ago, but I'm not sure I gave it much thought. I just reacted to what you want people to think, and you want people to think you're a nuts conservative like they are, but if you scratch the surface very far, you're not nearly as nuts as the average KSCO listener.
That's the kindest thing anybody's ever said to me. Wait, what? Zoltan Egarisi did something. You uttered a sound.
Well, he was calling the KSCO a listener is nuts. You know, we're probably the most intelligent people in this part of California.
You don't get the email that I used to get when I was doing my daily show. Is all I can tell you.
My friend
and Michael seen it. And Michael's seen it. So you should get my email.
My friend Kay told me, he said, "Hey Zoltan, you should be listening to Corsi here. You know, then one day I tuned you in, I could probably swallow maybe two minutes of your whatever you said. You know, I said, oh gosh, you know, this is like punishment for me. So I just switch you off fast."
Now wait a minute, Zoltan.
I think you can safely write off the opinions of someone who grew up in, you know, a Eastern Bloc nation.
Okay, well, let's be fair now. Let's get a little bit of Zoltan's background.
Sure.
Okay. You are we're about the same age, I guess, each of us,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 60. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're 60. Okay, I'm 58, and David's what, 54, 55?
No, I am just 50. Thank you.
Oh, you're just 50?
Just 50.
Oh, you're a youngster compared. Okay, good. Well, same generation. Okay, and so you were born in Hungary.
In Hungary, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and grew up in Hungary and
That's correct,
like it.
So I grew up there and went to school, a technical college, and I worked in a TV factory. At the age of 19, then I got drafted into the army. I managed to get away, after 4 months. then
when you say managed to get away from the army or managed to get away from Hungary?
Well, first you had to get away from the army. I was in the regular military service, so they draft you in. So I was drafted in for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened, I just faked some medical problem, and I got a medical discharge. So I was given a 1 year waiting period to go back for additional medical checkup to serve the rest of my 2 years period, which was approximately $2 per month service. That was a communist brainwashing. That's the liberal version of the current version of the liberalism is actually based on the communist system, dictatorship. So of course that's what I was trying to escape from, which I did. So once I got discharged, if you just cross the border back in the communist days into Austria or any places without a passport and you're still under military obligation, the penalty was death sentence. So I had to wait a few months till I got completely discharged, then I studied French. I wanted to immigrate to France, but anyway, I just cut it short. So I managed to purchase a little kayak, exercised, and
a kayak,
inflatable kayak. Then I practiced in my little home city, Bekes. Then practiced in the Black Sea, off Varna, Bulgaria. Then over to the Yugoslavia, Italy.
You were border. Not even 20 years old at that point.
Yeah, I was. That's correct. 19 and a half.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so then I crossed the Adriatic, and back in those days, for tourists like me, they were still shooting. So I had to wait till the military patrol passed by. Then I just started to paddle across Venice, then ended up in Italy as a international refugee. Okay, and back in those days, we were welcome because we were coming from the communist countries. And we all had at least good education and went through a CIA briefing, medical, checkups. So make sure everybody, is healthy. Then you had a choice to go and select a couple of countries where they were taking in immigrants. And that days there were Sweden, Canada, United States, South Africa. So first I picked Canada, and then I immigrated to Canada. Then I studied industrial electronics in St. Clair College, Windsor, Ontario. Color TV, worked at Chrysler. Then I studied computer technology in Southfield, Michigan. Then I was one of the top students when I finished. And actually, I only had 2 years. So when I immigrated to Canada, that was 1970. That's when I started to learn English. So then after finishing in the top of my class, out of 50, only 25 of us graduated, and then I got a job in Toronto's international company, Telex Computer Products, and I was a technical specialist taking care of computer installations in Quebec, Ontario, Newfoundland, time to time, doing technical specialist service in New York, Washington,
I'm getting out of breath listening to all the things you've done.
Yeah, then I was one of the best on the field out of 200 field service engineers. Then the company needed somebody, a specialist in setting up the European organization.
And so, all during this time, you were presumably thankful that you were living in freedom as opposed to...
Oh, man, I was extremely, thankful,
Okay.
Like when I left, I said it before on radio a few weeks ago, that my father was actually now part of the system because he was the president of a company. And as a president of any company, because all the companies were nationally owned. If it wasn't nationally owned, they were nationalized, and mm-hmm. you had to be part of the communist system. So I was, in a way, a black sheep of the family.
Because you rejected all that from day one.
Oh, yeah, day one, yeah.
And, uh-huh. How about others in your family? Were you the? You say you're the black sheep. There was that means there was nobody else who thought quite like you. Everybody else just accepted the system for what it was.
Well, a lot of people did, but I didn't.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I was I was a person who was said, okay, well, I could see all the lines, what was going on the national media. That's newspaper, radio, because everything was state controlled. This is the same thing what Obama is trying to do right now. They're picking up this kind of a brainwashing system, controlling NBC, controlling ABC, just to control the flow of information.
Well, wait a minute,
Michael.
Go ahead, David. Yeah, listen.
It is not really possible to have a reasoned conversation with Zoltan, not because he's not a smart guy, because he very clearly is a very smart guy, not because he isn't a patriotic American, because I believe he is a patriotic American, but his experience is so tied to, you know, 1949 to 1970. He lives in Hungary. He lives under an oppressive, brutal communist dictatorship. He comes here. Of course, he's going to see communist dictatorship in everything he looks at and be concerned about it. And I don't blame him for that. But it's going to be very hard when he starts saying, and Obama is trying to control the media. And you say, well, Zoltan, exactly what does that mean to you? And I don't see state control of the media happening in this country.
Well, you have to look at it.
And one second, hold on. I want to add something to that, Zoltan. Do you think that the media now, with Obama as our president, is being more controlled? What am I trying to say here? You would probably agree with a lot of people who listen to KSCO that the media, with the exception of Fox, is largely liberal. Would you agree to that statement?
I agree, and not only that.
And you disagree, David, right? You would disagree with the statement I just made.
I would say some of this is because of how the line between liberal and conservative has been dragged further and further to the right by conservatives. But I don't believe that the general media in this country toes hugely liberal.
A little bit, though, huh? Even you would say.
Well, I think that the American people, except for those who clearly identify themselves as being conservative, compared to the conservatives, tend liberal. I mean, if you take out the Fox, you know, the KSCO audience, and you take out the teabaggers and those people, what's left is a little more liberal than it is moderate. But I would say that, as a nation, we're sort of a center-right democracy.
Do you agree with that, Zoltan? Mm.
Well, we were up to a few years ago, but not during Obama. Because
Obama? Tell me, what has changed that has dramatically shifted the United States of America during Barack Obama?
You actually have to ask this question?
Yeah, tell me.
You don't know?
I want to know the answer to it.
Well, here is the answer. Okay, now, well, first of all, whatever he was running on for the election, he's been lying through his little teeth. Okay, well, he said, well, he's going to, you know, close Guantanamo. Well, okay, let's investigate the reason why he wanted to close Guantanamo. He had all these lawyers, pro bono lawyers.
Tell me how something has changed.
Let me just finish my sentence here, okay? He had all these pro bono lawyers running up and down to Guantanamo to show the world that our system is going to be working. Well, first of all, that was established during the Bush administration, and also confirmed by the Supreme Court that, yes, trying these enemy combatants is the right place in the military court, period. Okay? So all these pro bono lawyers, they just wanted to come up a big charade to show the world that, okay, yeah, our system works. What happens is that all these liberal lawyers, they were fighting against our country. So for this reason, Obama couldn't even say, okay, well, we're going to close the actually, Obama is not successful at this Guantanamo closure. Thanks,
and you're
God.
Probably,
okay, so
yeah,
that's
you're happy
a way
about
in which
that.
Obama has not
happy.
Changed America. You just said Obama has changed America, and your first example is Obama hasn't changed America.
Well, because he's incompetent.
Hold on, you said he's changed America. You made a statement that he has changed America.
Tell me how he's changed America.
Calm down.
Here's a couple of places, okay? First of all, he's trying to nationalize.
Tell me what he's done.
Okay, that's what I'm telling you, okay?
No, trying to. You started with trying to.
Tell me of an accomplishment. Well, he doesn't have any.
So things have not changed under Obama.
Wait a second.
Just hold on. If anything, it would seem to me that what might have changed under Obama is that people think he's trying to push things way too far to the left and much too expensive, at much too big, greater cost. So if anything, I would think that Obama has changed America more towards your and my way of thinking than you understand what I'm saying? David, let me be the host here, okay? Because I can do a good job of that, I think. David is frustrated because you made a comment that Obama has changed America. And he's holding your feet to the fire on that. He's wanting you to prove that statement.
Well, he hasn't been able to change the America yet.
So you said he's been trying to change.
He's been trying, and he's doing a very good job. Just to destroy our economy.
Hold on. How is a Barack Obama trying to destroy our economy when he has essentially followed the pattern that was set by the Bush administration before him? If you say Obama is trying to destroy the economy, you need to say George Bush was trying to destroy the economy, too.
Well, you remember the unemployment problem during most of the time during Bush, it was 5-6%. What do we have now? Over 10%.
Economies are cyclical. Things like that are going to happen.
Economies are cyclical, but again, if the government goes in, there's all kind of stupid regulations forcing businesses out. Look, you're in Mercer Dairy. Unemployment is in California. That part is like 19%.
Let's look at the financial crash that we've had and talk about how it was based on things that should have been regulated and were not. That the government did not maintain the appropriate separation between risk and reward, or the appropriate relationship. They allowed those to be separated, and as a result, we have had to bail out some of America's largest corporations. Not that we wanted to, but because regulation did not prevent them from getting into a bad situation from which they could not extricate themselves. That was done during the Bush administration. That is not Barack Obama's fault.
Okay, well, one of the reasons, you know, I used to work for a Chrysler, you know, in Windsor, Ontario, okay, after finishing college. And back in those days, in the 70, 71, I was making like $5.60 an hour, okay, which was a very good wage. You know what, the union said, okay, well, we have to go on strike because we cannot afford to live on this money. That's good. All right, I sent a nice letter at home to my daddy, was a communist party member. Hey, Dad, okay, you know, we are going on strike, and you know what happens? Because our brain was back in those days, just like Obama is trying to do here, that the capitalist system exploits their people. Okay, so what I did, went over to Detroit, got on the first plane, flew down to Miami, sent a nice picture home. Hey, Dad, I'm being exploited here by the capitalists. Okay, so that was a very nice strike. So during all these years, The automobile companies, they were exploiting more and more wage demands, which they received. Then they got all these expensive benefits, healthcare, and retirements. So all these expenses were burdening the General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler, which eventually, you know, led to their downfall, except Ford. And right now is Obama... Practically, and all these liberal regulations to increase the CAFE standard, increase this, increase that, safety standards. So all these extra things what had to be manufactured to make the cars better, which to some degree I agree, it was good. But again, really made the U.S. company, the U.S. auto manufacturing too expensive to compete against Japanese companies. Yes, it is.
No, look, the Japanese cars are made here in America. They sell for what they sell for, and they have the exact same standards they must meet.
Except no unions. And what Obama did, he practically destroyed GM and destroyed Chrysler. Let me just finish.
Then
you go.
For the last 20 years.
I know.
By what Zoltan has been saying.
But that's not President Obama.
Okay, he says Obama
has destroyed GM. GM was falling over dead decades ago, and it has been propped up over a period of time, and eventually it could be propped up no more.
Well, one of the reasons, of course, is because GM had loads of union people who poured over $60 million for Obama's election. Then all these GM retirees with full pension and full benefits and the families, and even if they close the GM factory one place, once the other location was in 50 miles or beyond, maybe 75, no, they didn't have to go and change locations. So they were getting the full salaries or full pensions. All these extra costs were burdening GM.
I agree with just about everything you say about what's wrong with the country, but I agree with what David has said, that you haven't shown that Obama has been an effective president at all at promoting his agenda. He hasn't, because people aren't buying into it.
Yeah, because the only thing what he's got is just garbage. He's trying to brainwash people.
Hold on. I agree with Zoltan about GM and the auto industry. I agree with him. And both Democrats and Republicans, conservatives and liberals, played into a large part of that game. Ultimately, the company should have either broken the union, or at some point those retirees are probably going to see their retirements cut. I don't know the exact arrangements
or
that are made
disappear.
With that.
And one thing I'd like to say to Scott is that at the end, he actually put the union chief on to be the head of the GM. So practically, he nationalized the GM because our tax money went into purchasing GM, or actually bailing them out. So we own GM now.
Hey, David.
Well, do you? I don't think a union chief is running GM at this point. But I believe it's Ed Whitaker, who used to run Pacific Bell and Southwestern Bell.
That's great. Well, temporarily there was a union guy there.
At one point, it probably made sense, but for how many months did that last? Again, I mean, Zoltan's a good guy. He's a smart guy. But his growing up experiences, like mine, have considerably colored the way he looks at the world. And therefore, I'm not going to convince him. He's not going to convince me.
No. Well, that's
and
why
we're going to sit here talking sideways at each other.
Now, come on,
for,
David.
I think it's 22 minutes.
David, I think this is beneficial to our audience. Now, audience, please call us and let me know if you think this is beneficial, or if you think that David is right and we're talking sideways and no one's going to convince anybody. And I agree with that, actually. I don't think anybody's going to convince anybody
else. Hey, Zoltan, let's talk about something we can agree on. Talk to me about the failure of communism.
Well, that's look at me, okay? In a communist system, I made $60 a month, okay? And I had no passport. Okay, here, when I came to the United States, first to Canada, then I got transferred to the States, then I became at age 27.
Okay, raise it up, though. Why did communism fail?
Because they were lying through their teeth. The whole country was nothing more than a jail. Okay, if you look at the borders of Hungary, East Germany, there was mined. Okay, there was military with weapons that you couldn't even get close to the borders. The reason why the communist system failed, look at Cuba. Okay, it's still a jail. All those people who grew up there and they lived their whole life under Castro, there's nothing more than a big jail for them. The communist system failed in East Germany. I've been to East Germany several times. And the reason is just people couldn't even have information access to West European radio stations. I had to listen to Radio Free Europe or Radio or Voice of America or BBC
English.
Because
the Iron Curtain isn't soundproof. Remember those ads, David? The Iron Curtain.
Oh, I agree,
isn't
soundproof. And I'm proud that we pay for that, and we still do.
Okay, so the people who were running the country. and controlling the news media, they were feeding only one information. This, you know, in parallel, this is what Obama wants to do: control the flow of information.
Okay, you
that's
have
why,
to
that's
stop
why
there.
Obama, one second, yeah. That's why Obama had one of his lady who's already got fired. Her name was Anita. Who said, well, okay, you know, my admired person is, you know, Chairman Mao and that lady from India, what was her name?
Gandhi? Indira Gandhi?
No, Madame Teresa, you know?
Okay. Mother Teresa.
Yeah, Mother Teresa. And you kind of wonder, I said, why in the hell would you ever even have these two people, you know, you're looking at as your idol? Well, for this Anita, who was, you know, controlling the news media, news flow out of the White House. Her reasoning, well, she never really said it, and because Chairman Mao, he had a large organization and actually had millions of people behind him to go and fight his own war.
Controlling the news flow out of the White House? Oh, yeah.
Oh, Anita,
no, hold on. If you take it out of context, I have said, maybe on this radio station, that there are things I admire about Nikita Khrushchev.
You admire about Khrushchev?
Things.
He was a brutal dictator. Okay.
He sent military tanks.
He sent military tanks to, you know, to control the revolution in Hungary. Okay.
Hold on. I also admire Imre Nagy.
Imre Nagy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
what do you admire about him? Do you admire Stalin? He killed 10 million people.
No, I don't admire Stalin.
Why not? He's in the same group.
I don't admire. Hold on. You're imagining.
I'm not imagining.
Because there is something you admire about somebody, you admire everything about them. I admire Nikita Khrushchev for standing up in 1953 and making the secret speech. That was the beginning of the opening and the fall of the Soviet Union. I admire Mikhail Gorbachev much more.
You admire him for screwing up, basically. Oh, okay.
No, he didn't screw up. He did this on purpose to change the system and to try to make the system less brutal. And he did that on a number of occasions, which is how he ended up getting put out and old Leonid Brezhnev ended up replacing him. But the difference between before Nikita Khrushchev and after Nikita Khrushchev is Khrushchev still lived out his life in a normal way. And his son immigrated to America, and is, last time I checked, still teaching college.
Yeah, he was up in New Hampshire someplace. Yeah, because his son said, okay, now the communist system playing English sucks.
Absolutely, all and right? I agree with
you. The communist system is a brutal, oppressive regime.
This is a good thing.
I agree with you. Zoltan,
Nikki, do we have some sort of fanfare music? Da 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 da, because we did find something. We said we were going to kill ourselves to find something that these men could agree on. And
oh, communism is evil. I'm sure we agree with it, and Zoltan has the examples.
Okay, of course. Let me tell you one more thing here.
Actually. All right. Wait a minute. Let's not do anything except take a break. Because if we don't take a break and play some commercials, this radio station won't be here much longer.
It will be like one of
my
hours.
That's right. We got to pay for the bills, you know, lights.
Well, yeah, that's sort of a crude way of saying it, but we really want to thank the people who advertise on KSCO. Not only that, they're very, very smart people because they increase their business. Take it away, Nikki.
Here's a little tip you can take to the store. If you don't know where the honey comes from, you don't know what's in the honey. And if that honey comes from China, well, you better walk the other way. Hi, this is Dana Mum at Pacific Crest Apiaries. As local beekeepers, husband Ed and I proudly feature raw honey. That's right, our honey comes directly from the hive without being overheated and is never overfiltered or diluted. Pacific Crest Apiaries honey is pure and raw. At our Pacific Crest Apiary store, you'll find lots of our delicious honey, including a wonderful selection of teas, pure beeswax candles for any and all occasions, and gifts you or a loved one will cherish forever. Treat yourself to a wonderful trip to the country with a short drive to Pacific Crest Apiaries. We're just a stone's throw from Aptos at 875 Calabasas Road. Weekends 10 to 6 and Monday to Wednesday 12 to 4. For more information and directions, PacificCrestApiaries.com.
A proud member of Think Local First, Santa Cruz County.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Howard Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Attention business owners and anyone who knows a business owner. It's not a theory or opinion. It's a fact that during severe weather conditions, nearly everyone tunes into KSCO AM 1080 for the best and most current storm and power outage information. Our audience is huge during these times, and there is no better time to get your message out to a mass audience. We have just developed a special Storm Watch KSCO advertising package that is surprisingly cost effective. In fact, it's a bargain. Ask any KSCO advertiser how their ads work on KSCO during normal times, and you will find that KSCO gets results. To learn about our special Stormwatch package, go to the new KSCO.com, click on the advertising tab at the top right, or send an email to sales at KSCO.com. Or just use a plain old telephone and call 425-3030. That's 425-3030. Again, go to the advertising tab at KSCO.com, send an email to sales at KSCO.com, or just use a phone and call 425-3030.
Now at the Home Depot, get any carpet installed for just $97. All brands, all styles, all through your home, just $97. And with our low prices on carpet, you can get your whole project done for the lowest total cost. So you can stop putting it off and let us start putting it in. With basic whole house carpet installation for just $97. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, license numbers, and price match policy.
Okay, welcome back to hour number one of the Saturday special. We've got about 14 minutes remaining, 13 minutes actually, before we have hour number two of the Saturday special. I'm always tickled whenever I say something like that, because it reminds me of my high school German teacher. He used to say, this story is divided into two parts, part one and part two. And I used to crack up whenever he would say something like, because isn't that the obvious? I mean, you know, we don't. And every time I'd crack up, it was like I was being disrespectful, and he would send me to the principal. So we've got Zoltan Egarisi and David Corsi on the Saturday special. I received a cryptic note before we went to the break saying, come in and talk with me about something during the break whenever you're ready. That was from Nikki. I did that. It's never happened before in the history of the years of our working together. And by the way, Nikki, there could not be a better pilot in command than Nikki James. And I'm sure I'm not telling any of you anything you don't know. Everybody calls in and they say Nikki's got a great, you know, radio voice and this and that, but she's a great pilot in command. And nobody knows that better than I do. So thank you so much publicly.
Thank you. I'm blushing.
And thank you for being so discreet. You know, I'm the one who's washing the dirty laundry, you know, letting everybody know. But what you told me, I thought was very significant. You know, what you shared with me, I'm going to share it with the audience, okay, because I think it's really important.
All righty.
What Nikki shared with me is that she was receiving a lot of calls, a good number of phone calls, on the call-in line, bank of lines, and these people did not want to go on. They just wanted to warn her that they're getting disgusted with this radio program and that they're going to tune out. Now, I appreciate it when people in our audience let us know that they're disgusted. I like it when they let us know they're happy, and I like it when they let us know that they're disgusted. And by God, we don't want anybody to ever have a reason to tune out. We can't do that. That'll destroy our station. There'll be no more KSCO. We can't do that.
If you present both sides of controversial issues, this audience will tune out. No question about it.
Now, David.
They're here to hear what they want to hear, and if they don't hear what they want to hear, a large number of them, not all of them, a large number of them will go someplace else because they don't want to be challenged in their thinking. Real simple.
That actually wasn't the reason for the calls.
What was the reason for the calls?
The reason for the calls was they were saying that you need to take more control and make sure your two gentlemen here that are speaking are not interrupting each other and raising their voices and yelling. because that's a turnoff to
you
some people.
You mean they were criticizing me as
well,
a host?
I wouldn't say criticizing.
How dare they? Don't they realize I own the damn place? I am beyond criticism.
Well, hey, no, I raised my voice as their darling and questioned him closely, and that's not good.
What is this?
I raised my voice at their darling and questioned him closely, as in, prove your statements. He still hasn't proved his statements, and that's okay.
Okay.
Because he still is yet to talk about anything that Obama has accomplished.
All right. You know what? I'm going to take control. Damn it. I'm going to take control of the radio show. I'm going to be the host.
Be tough.
I can control Zoltan's mic. I can pot him down or shut him off if he's being too obnoxious. But unfortunately, I can't do that with you because I don't
really
have control.
I'm sorry. I thought you could pop me down.
I can't. Only Nikki can do that, and she's too busy screening phone calls. So how could she even know when I want her to do it? I guess if I yell and say, do it.
I'm sorry. I thought the radio station was hooked up so that you could do that.
No. Okay. Will you behave differently now that you know the truth?
I'll probably go away at the top of the hour.
No. Just be a nice guest and understand that certain hosts like me have limitations, and you sort of need to understand and have compassion for retarded hosts such as myself.
No, it's retarded equipment. You should be able to pop me down.
Okay. All righty, David E. Corsi.
I'll try to pot myself down. How's that? When I get real excited.
Okay, I'll just say pot yourself down. Now, that's what's pissing people off.
Stifle Edith.
People do not like it. People call and complain and threaten to tune out when they have to listen to you.
So?
What's the matter, Zoltan?
Okay, can I carry on now?
Sure, I'm going to change. I'm going to change that. We're going to go to the phone lines because people have been calling in, even though we haven't. And by the way, if you're a regular caller like Rory and Dan and Harold, please don't be upset with me. We will get to your phone calls, I promise you. But if you're a new or Krishna, we love Krishna too. But as Glenn Fisher has said to me, I'm not a very good host because I can't ever – my shows only bring in the same callers. I can't get any new callers no matter what I do. So it must mean I really
Stop
am.
Stop raising your voice,
I
Michael.
Really
You're going
am.
To turn off the listeners.
I really am a bleepy host. I really am because – huh? Okay. I don't even know who's on the air. All we have is let's change the course of the thing. Is Obama a good president? Or is he a bad president? Zoltan, you say.
Okay, to me, this is one of the worst in our living history.
Okay. And David? David?
I think there's no justification for Zoltan's statement at all.
Okay, but you think, so what do you think? You think he's one of the best presidents?
No, I think he's middling right now.
Who do you think is a better president? Carter? Was Carter a better president in your thinking?
Franklin Delano Roosevelt was a better president. Mm-hmm. Ronald Reagan, though I don't like a lot of what he did, was a better president. Bill Clinton was a better president. Richard Nixon, up until the end, was in his own way, again, I disagree with him on many things, a better president.
Uh-huh.
So I've named about half Democrats and half Republicans there.
Okay. Who's your
favorite? Eisenhower was a better president than he got credit for being. I think Harry Truman maybe was not quite as good as we want to remember him as. And had he lived, JFK would probably have been considered a lower third president.
Okay.
The best presidents in order would be Lincoln, Washington, and FDR. And you could throw those three names into a hat and draw one and make a case that either of them should be first or last.
Okay. What do you think, Zoltan, about
my best president was Ronald Reagan, uh-huh, by far.
Uh-huh. Mine too, actually. And Clint Eastwood's is also, because I asked him that once.
Ronald Reagan, though, did not stop America from being a dictatorship, nor did Ronald Reagan hold the nation together in a war, nor did Ronald Reagan bring us back from a depression and win the Second World War.
4-53.
So, I mean, I agree that people emotionally, particularly of recent vintage, love Ronald Reagan, and I understand why they do. But if you say he's the greatest ever American president,
No, in our lifetime.
And so, well, I didn't limit myself to your lifetime.
I didn't ask it. You're right. So how about in our lifetime? Who do you think is the best president, David?
In terms of effect, you know, there are many things I admire about Ronald Reagan. There are lots of things that he did that I think were despicable. He probably is, in my lifetime, let me go back. Actually, I think Lyndon Baines Johnson looks better in comparison to the way we think of him. I think he did more than we give him credit for, but Vietnam ate him up, as did
when you just said
Richard
that,
Nixon.
When you just mentioned Lyndon Baines Johnson, I thought Zoltan was going to have an accident.
First of all, Lyndon Baines Johnson made it possible for all Americans to vote.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, is it my turn?
No, it's Charles. Yeah. It's Charles's turn. Charles, okay. Welcome to KSC. You got to pot him up, I think, in there, Nikki. Are you there, Charles?
Yes, I am.
Oh, bless you for being there. You're on the air. What do you want to say?
Okay, well, Zoltan is a fascinating person. I welcome you on this show.
Yeah, thank you.
What is the background of your name?
Yeah, that's a Hungarian name. I believe it comes from the name Sultan.
Yeah,
because Hungary was occupied by the Turkish Empire from the 15th century to the 17th century.
Oh, okay.
And Sultan was a king of the kings. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that name.
And you know, I'm just realizing right now. I've known Zoltan for years, and I'm just making that connection because we're dissecting the history of the name.
Yeah.
Zoltan is the name of Jane Mansfield's son.
Ooh.
Because, when Jane Mansfield died in that tragic accident,
right,
it said that she was survived by a six-year-old son, Zoltan.
Huh.
Hmm. Interesting.
It was named by her husband at the time, who was...
Who was that? I don't know.
What, Aga Khan or somebody like that? Isn't that who she was married to? Yeah.
Oh. Well, anyhow, so Charles, thank you for calling. You are you a pretty new caller or relatively
new? No, I've been listening to you for a long time.
No, it's okay. I caller.
And Dave Corey is a kind of free thinker that I respect him, and I feel that his raising his voice is not impolite. It's just passion that he's showing, and I identify with David Corey on that.
David Corsi. We have Corey Gold, who's another.
No, I'm talking about your combatant here.
Okay, so that would be David Corsi.
What's the name again?
David Corsi.
Corsey.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Corsi. Not a problem. People get Corey and I confused all the time. I get his email, he gets mine.
Yeah, I would go along with that person that sent the note and said, don't interrupt each other. That's more polite. But, Zoltan, I want to just stand with you 100% in how you feel about the current administration.
Thank you. I know
I'm getting off base a little bit. You're talking about President Obama, but I would rather say he represents a system, and he's bringing on the czars and advisors who are basically socialists.
That's exactly right.
And I feel it because I grew up under Mao Zedong. I lived under Mao Zedong, and I saw his regime kill hundreds and thousands. I saw it with my eyes as a teenager.
Ni hao ma.
Washer Liu Del Rey. My name is Mr. Liu.
Oh, hen hao.
Well, my point is, when we look at what the administration's doing with our automobile industry, with our banks, listen carefully what he's doing with the educational system, with the artists to make pictures that remind me of Mao Zedong and Hitler and Stalin's controlling the art.
That's exactly right.
It just makes me shake in my boots.
That's exactly
I've not
right.
lived in America very long. I've just come back from 40 years in a benevolent dictatorship in Indonesia, a Muslim country. And I just feel very strongly that, Zoltan, you have hit the point, not just blaming our president, but blaming him and his ideology. Saul Alinsky, he's doing it by the book.
That's exactly right. And yeah, I just hope that sooner or later.
All we need to do is, in fact, I went and bought the book by.
Hate to do this. We're coming up on the end of
okay.
hour number one.
Let me just.
That's
say,
it. You can call, we'll hold you over. You can.
Viewpoint.
You could come. But pot him down, think, pot him down. I can't do it. Okay, this KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose, or Fox
News. I'm Chris Stanley. All three Washington area airports are virtually shut down now as the nation's capital continues to be the blizzard bullseye.
You know the creed of the U.S. Postal Service. No sleet, no storm, no gloom of night. The mail must get through. Well, not today. Not even postal workers are going to brave this storm. The region's been sucked in by 1 to 3 feet of snow. Power outages have hit 250,000 customers. Even four-wheel drive vehicles are having a tough time getting around on the major roadways. Shoppers have panicked, too, picking grocery store shelves clean of essentials like milk and toilet paper. In Washington, Jill Nato, Fox News Radio.
The D.C. region is just buried in snow, and there's still more to come.
On some parts of Maryland, we have over 30 inches of snow, and it's still coming down. But here's the good thing. This band of snow is starting to get smaller and is shrinking down to the south. So that means we're going to start to get in on some lighter snow over the next couple hours, but certainly additional snow accumulations between 4 and 7 inches additional to what's already on the ground.
Fox meteorologist Domenica Davis. In Southern California, it's rain playing havoc with some areas that have hillsides vulnerable to mudslides after wildfires strip them of vegetation.
The main thing is are we going to have to evacuate again? That is just nerve-wracking.
That woman in the aptly named Hillside, California. Storm drains are overloaded and flooding is causing traffic jams around Los Angeles County. In New Orleans, where carnival parades are competing with Super Bowl parties, it's also Election Day. Voters picking a successor to Mayor Ray Nagin, who is being term-limited out. The Lieutenant Governor of Louisiana, Mitch Landrieu, who lost to Nagin in a runoff 4 years ago, is widely seen as the front runners. Iraqi leaders say the Iraqi parliament is going to decide the fate of hundreds of candidates for next month's elections who are banned from running. If the country's top court doesn't settle the matter soon, the court could issue a final ruling as early as tomorrow. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
This is Fox News Talk.
Fox and Friends Encore.
Encore. Playing that character, Norm George Wendt picked up a few tips on how to get the ultimate beer experience. His new book is Drinking with George. Now, it's about time this book was done. Why is now the perfect time for America to embrace this book?
Well, beer's been very good to me over the years. And I thought it was time to give something back. And I wrote the book for the children of America. You know, it right. needs to be in every classroom in America.
Yeah. Speaking of the children, your love affair with beer started as a young man. Grandpa's Budweiser.
Yeah, yeah. He sent me to the kitchen and I'd open the can of beer and bring it to him. My reward was a sip. And I thought it was great.
How old were you?
I don't know, 7 or 8, maybe.
Beer.
What are the motor skills? You know, you'd have to check your child development guides.
But. Don't miss Fox and Friends weekday mornings on the Fox News Channel.
Hard to believe that while the Mid-Atlantic region is virtually paralyzed by this monster snowstorm, just a few states south it's sunny and warm and Super Bowl weekend shifting into high gear. Fox News Radio's Jeff Bonasso is in Miami and he joins us live.
And Chris, don't shoot the messenger, but Colts and Saints fans here in Miami are rubbing it in to the Mid-Atlantic region and are glad they're here instead of home, digging out.
I hope since I'm down here that they do at least 2 feet.
Wait, I have to go back on Monday.
It's one big party in South Florida as fans soak up the beach, the sun, and tomorrow, Super Bowl 44. Chris?
Robert Park, the young American missionary detained in North Korea for 43 days and released last night, now on his way back to his home state, California. While Toyota may be struggling to hang on to its car-making reputation in the wake of massive recalls, it is no longer the only Japanese car company facing disgruntled customers.
Honda's launched a massive recall of its Fit and Jazz model cars after concerns a faulty electric window switch on the driver's door could malfunction or, in the worst-case scenario, catch fire. The Japanese car giant is understood to be recalling over 170,000 vehicles in Britain alone and a similar number in Brazil. There are already reports of 3 fatalities from the problem, including the death of a 2-year-old girl sleeping in the Honda Jazz car in South Africa. Honda's recall comes after Toyota called in hundreds of thousands of cars worldwide over a faulty gas pedal. David Piper, Fox News Radio.
Lebanon's transportation minister says one of the so-called black boxes from that Ethiopian Airlines jet that crashed into the Mediterranean Sea 12 days ago has been located under parts of the aircraft's tail. It's not clear, though, if it's the flight data recorder, the cockpit voice recorder, or both. The Boeing 737 went down 5 minutes after takeoff from Beirut. All 90 people on board died. I'm Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James, and I've got your forecast here for the weekend. Today, we are going to be having rain, about a half inch today. Thunder is likely with a high of 57. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, showers, possible thunder, and a low of 44. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And on Sunday, it'll be partly cloudy. Periods of sun and clouds with a high of 59, northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, the southeast winds 5 to 15 knots, with occasional gusts to 25 knots in this morning, and then the wind waves will be 2 to 3 feet, becoming less than 2 feet in the afternoon. West swell 6 to 8 feet at 12 seconds, and showers with a slight chance of thunderstorms. Tonight, northwest winds 10 to 15 knots, wind waves 2 to 3 feet. West swell 8 to 10 feet at 13 seconds, chance of showers and thunderstorms. Sunday, northwest winds 10 to 20 knots, wind waves 2 to 4 feet. West swell 7 to 9 feet at 13 seconds. I also have current temperatures here for you. 52 degrees in Salinas, 52 in Watsonville, and in Monterey it's 53. We're at 54 already here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSEO Studios. Official time, 11:06 and 43 seconds on this Saturday, February 6, 2010. Up next, we have the second hour of the Saturday special with MZ and Zoltan and David. So here we go.
Sounds like that record you're playing is broken. Sounds like a broken record. It keeps repeating itself.
Well, that's kind of... it's actually what it's what most songs sound like without words, actually. And that's what I'm playing is the karaoke version.
Yeah, I figured, and I know it's The Sunshine of Your Love by
you
whoever,
know it.
But,
Cream.
Yeah, Cream, that's right.
Yeah.
Eric Clapton part of that? I think he was, huh? Eric Clapton, was he in that? No, I think he was.
Not sure.
All righty. So let's see. I'm not going to apologize to any of the callers who are feeling bad that they've been hung on hold, hung out to dry for the better part of an hour, because I didn't even invite phone callers yet.
You actually didn't. Yeah,
right. I
know. I
haven't even given out the phone number once, so I'm not going to
feel
guilty.
Well, they were so excited.
I'm not going to do that. I just won't do that. And I will repeat, it's actually for the first time today, our policy that we do give precedence, we do give priority to new callers.
So make sure you mention to me that you're a new caller.
Yeah.
Usually I don't have time to ask all the time.
Yeah. If you mention that you're a new caller, you're going to be put
straight
way
up
to the. Now, do you think there are unscrupulous people who would
lie?
Yeah.
Guess what?
What?
I know voices. Good luck.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah, there's Tate and Felton. That's not a very common name.
No, he's
been waiting on line 3. But anyhow, and there's Rory, who's been waiting for 37 minutes and 8, 9, 10 seconds. Rory's a great caller, and we will put him on. But we've got to start hour number 2 of the Saturday special. We have a world premiere K's commentary. And we have to set the stage for some topics and some calls and so forth. So right now, let's do hour number 2.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. Love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSEO has the inside track.
KSCO does have the inside track, and those of you who have been listening for years know that, or you wouldn't be listening. I mean, right? Right? Yeah.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio 5.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
We in California are about to confirm whether we have statesmen for senators or just lowbrow politicians. Kudos to my very intelligent friend Andy Anderson, who asked that this timely topic be discussed and contributed significantly to this commentary. Let's take a moment and look back at what our founding fathers said about the U.S. senators. Our founders stated clearly that the states were to remain sovereign and that the federal government was to play a smaller role in the state's affairs. They knew what a big central government would do with the power. They established that the senators from each state would be appointed by the legislature of each state, thus assume their loyalty to the state. The senators' proper role was to go to Washington, D.C. and protect their state's security and sovereignty foremost from the abuses of federal authority. They were not to be seduced or threatened by influences originating out of Washington. If they failed in this role, they were replaced. In 1913, a federal onslaught took place in our country. Federal Reserve Banking was established, the Internal Revenue Service was created, and our senators were voted into office by popular vote. Just ask yourself, what have our senators done lately to protect California's sovereignty and security from an overreaching federal government, which has become paramount, and the states have become subservient, and our forefathers opposed and predicted that situation? Now come Senators Feinstein and Boxer. Senators, are you going to ignore our government's appeal to vote no on this universal health care bill because it would add billions more to our state's debt? If you vote yes, it will be clear that you're not the least bit interested in the sovereignty, security, and well-being of the citizens of California. So we shall soon see whether or not you're just two more lowbrow politicians we sent back to Washington at our expense. My afterthoughts. It's time for Feinstein and Boxer to be voted out. They've served too long, are too entrenched, and it's time for two fresh new senators who will listen to the people of California. The same goes for Representative Sam Farr, who during local hearings on this health care issue last summer did let the people speak, but prefaced every speaker with his own remark by stating, "I'm voting for it." He doesn't get it either. He's supposed to represent us, the people, not only himself. So much for term limits, a topic most senators would rather never discuss. They like to make a lifetime career out of serving as senators. They give themselves excellent salaries plus superior health care, much better than what they're planning for the rest of us. They probably have a car, an office, and no doubt other perks, and they voted themselves several years ago pensions for themselves and pensions for their spouses, which was totally unacceptable and inappropriate, and no doubt those pensions still exist. With such an interesting and lucrative job, why would any congressperson want term limits? And why do we, the people, allow our Congress to set their own salaries? We should have a citizens' committee for that chore. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
For KSCO, that was Kay Swirling. And by the way, it is your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, KSCO.com, streaming to the world on our great new website. If you haven't been there to register for free, please do so. The quicker you do so, the quicker you will be eligible for cool things that will only be eligible for registrants to the KSCO.com websites. And you can always email me or send comments through the website or email me directly, mz@KSCO.com. if you have ideas that you would of features that you would like to see on the website. Gee, I was in my garage the other night looking for something, and I found something else that was a treasure. It was a file of a lot of old scrapbook newspaper clippings of stories about KSCO and, you know, things involving KSCO from the 90s. And there were a bunch of really interesting stories of things, and it sort of brought back memories of things that have happened in the almost 20 years. By the way, our 19th anniversary of acquisition of KSCO came and went. That was last Sunday. Nobody said anything. I mean, that's awful. I mean, I'm mad at myself. I mean, that's like momentous. Well, at least it's not as momentous as the 20th anniversary, which will be in about a year from now. But like, you know, January 31st, 1991, KSCO was purchased by the Zwirling family from Fuller Jeffrey Broadcasting Company on mobile home sales and brought back to local ownership and management. And we've been going strong ever since. We certainly have our challenges. It's an ongoing thing to have a radio station with a heart and soul and personality in a day and age when such stations rarely exist anywhere, even in big cities. Most of the stations are computers in a closet somewhere that are automated. And so we appreciate the support that the advertisers and the listeners give us. Some listeners actually go to KSCO.com, scroll down to the bottom right, and stick in some money and click here or donate, which is really nice. We're a commercial radio station, but we very graciously accept any contributions that listeners or business owners might want to contribute. And you can do it real easily via KSCO.com. Our program today is featuring two political opposites, Hungarian refugee Zoltán Egerisi and KSCO talk host David E. Corsi. Hey, David, are you there?
Michael, the reason I don't come on the Saturday special is because you spend 20 minutes every hour yammering.
Oh.
Your mom gets on and speaks against democracy. And that's what she was. She's saying, you know, all you people who elected these folks, you don't count. You didn't elect who I wanted to. Therefore, electing people isn't a good thing.
But David, you don't like to listen to people who disagree with you. In fact, you want to stifle it. In fact,
you asked me
one day, shortly after you started
to
doing
not
the
regular
please
yeah, to not run her commentaries.
I can't
during
pot
my
him
down.
Hey, Nikki, I need your help. You need to help me. Only you can pot him down. I can't. Okay? He's not going to let me talk. He's going to interrupt me. So please pot him down. I'll tell you when you can pot him up. It's terrible to not be in control. It's terrible. But anyhow, here's the difference between you and me, David. You do not allow people with different points of view. You and your ilk do not allow people with differing points of view to have their say without jumping all over them. I enjoy doing, even though just about everything you and your ilk represents is sickening to me, I will bend over backwards to beg you to come on the Saturday special. And then you have the gall to say to me,
the reason I don't come on the Saturday special is because...
And you're on the Saturday special. You don't make much sense, my friend, at all. But I want to point out something that's really, really hypocritical on your part. And just the opposite of, and just makes you look like a fool. With what you just said, when I just asked you if you were there, you said,
the reason I don't come on the Saturday special is because things are said that,
what did he say? What did he say? He's got me crazy now.
Well,
I was going to bring up something that really is strange, and that is shortly after he started doing the daily program on KSCO, he called me up and said, "Please, no K's commentaries on my program. No K's commentaries on his program." And I said, "Well, why?" And the answer was, you are trying to bring in a whole new audience of liberal-minded people.
That's a dictatorial view.
Well, please don't interrupt. Just let me finish here. You shouldn't interrupt. Everybody interrupts. I don't need to be interrupted. So he said, yeah, you're trying to bring in a new audience. So you don't want to poke them in the eye with something that's just going to offend that new audience. And that made sense to me. So I talked it over with Mom and I said, Ma, what do you think? David doesn't want to have your commentaries on his program. And she said, okay, no big deal. And I figured, so if it's not on for 2 hours, it's not the end of the world. Okay? So now you can pot him up again if he's still there.
I'm here.
Okay. All righty. So you've irritated the hell out of me with your obnoxious and unwarranted and ridiculous attack. Okay? But go ahead and talk.
Hold on. What your mom just said was that she doesn't like the people electing who they want. That's what she said. That a Senate elected by the people somehow doesn't reflect the people of California. That we elected Sam Farr. So when Sam Farr says, I'm not going to do this, Sam Farr was elected by the people of California to represent them. And we don't vote on every single issue in this country. So you have to presume that for the 2 years he is in office, Sam Farr represents the people of his district. If the people of his district don't like him, they can send someone else to Washington. Likewise, their senators.
I agree with all that.
So your mom was saying that all that's bad.
So why don't you want to? So let her say that.
Hold on, I'm in favor of her saying it. I just think it's inane.
And that's why you don't want to come on the Saturday special very often. There are inane things that are said by Kay's commentaries that you can't stand to hear, and there are callers that you think are not very bright.
No, the callers call me, and I talk to them all the time. That's not a big deal. No, it's just that we've been sitting here now for 2 hours, and we actually start talking about issues again at 21 and a half minutes past the hour. If you remember the last hour of this program, you're lucky because a lot of people weren't here, and we were kind of going. And all we've determined during this first hour and almost hour and a half of the program is that emigres from communist dictatorships, Mr. Liu, I think it was, and Zoltan, are very sensitive to anything that suggests the places that they left. And they should be very sensitive, and I am grateful and thankful that they are very sensitive. But just because they're very sensitive doesn't mean that it's true or that it is going to become as all-encompassing as the brutal dictatorships that they left. Real simple.
Even if it seems to be moving in that direction from someone who's experienced it firsthand.
But at what point in America's history would it not seem to be moving in that direction? Certainly from the 1930s on. The truth of it is that communism is a failure. It's an absolute and total failure. On the other side, capitalism, left only as capitalism, will be a failure for the average person as well. Therefore, we end up with a mix in which various, what I don't like to call them socialist, but you can if you'd like, aspects such as Social Security, Medicare, all of these programs that most Americans support are folded into a capitalistic system in order to mellow it, to make it better for the average person who's a participant.
Let's go to Tate and Felton. Tate, you're on the air on AM 1080 KSCO on the Saturday special.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Zoltan. Hi, David.
Hello.
And, first off, I just want to say thanks to Nikki. I think she does an awesome job. And secondary, I just wanted to call in. I called in earlier and said that I was loving this program. And that I'm very liberal, and I listen to every program on this station. And I'm really kind of mystified as to why people would turn away when they're hearing passion and frustration, which a lot of us out here aren't able to express.
I think people turn away when they hear people interrupting. It doesn't matter who interrupts who. When someone's interrupting somebody, it's not courteous, and no one can hear anything. I think that's what people were referring to. Isn't that right, Nikki? Yeah, she's nodding her head through the glass.
And it is a bad habit of mine for which I apologize. I just tend to hear people saying absolutely bogus things, and it's like, you need to stop right there and explain that the predicate of your statement is true.
Because I think you'd be more effective if you just waited for them to finish. And if it went on and on and they were repeating themselves, even the worst of hosts would cut them off, and you'd have your chance to say your thing.
You're probably right. Yeah. I agree. I can be too passionate, and I apologize.
Okay. Tate, how long have you been listening?
Oh, I've been listening probably since I'm 35, and I've probably been listening since I was about 13 or 12.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love the station, you know, and I'm liberal, but I have to hear what's out there on the other side.
Do you listen to Rush, for example?
I listen to him every day.
Now, Zoltan, you find it very, very difficult to listen to opposing points of like you can't listen to David. You got to turn what's the first thing you announced.
Well, one of the reasons I couldn't listen to him because he was really shutting everybody else up. You know, he just said whatever he thinks that's his view.
So it's not his liberal views that make him unlistenable to you. It's the way he hangs up on callers. Is that
hold
what you're
on?
Saying?
He determined that in 2 minutes.
No, well, okay, no, I was told that. Okay, so what I listened to you 2 minutes. Minutes, that was enough to switch the station. I listen to watch CNBC, CNN too once in a while, and other stations too. When the news comes up, let's say relating to the healthcare, what is being said on Fox, what is being said on Rush Limbaugh or Michael Savage, who's not on this station, but anyway. And other TV stations, to local stations, I listen to what is being said about one subject and what is not said. Okay, so in other words, what are they hiding? If the news comes up, let's say regarding this healthcare, all the good information, what might be good for a certain percentage of the population, it's been amplified by NBC and local stations. But all the bad things, you know, it's mentioned. Well, how it's going to affect us on a negative way? I hear that on different stations like Fox and Rush Limbaugh, and of course this would bankrupt our country. And that's one of the reasons, the healthcare reason. You know, David, you were asking, what is Obama failing? His healthcare system is a total failure. Even Obama admitted a couple of days ago that looks like it's not going to pass.
That's another example of evil things Obama's done.
Tate wants to say something. Go ahead, Tate.
Well, Zoltan just proved just said the exact opposite of what I said. He said that he listens to those stations very rarely, CNN and MSNBC and so on and so forth, and he mostly listens to Rush and Fox News. And I don't see any way that you're ever going to come to a conclusion or anything on that if you don't listen to everything that's said.
Well, I only have 24 hours in a day. I don't listen to everything.
So do I. I'm sorry to interrupt, but so do I. And I, you know, and it's just it's frustrating when you hear somebody that's conservative or that listens to only those things and small snippets of other people. And I really appreciate this show because of the fact of being able to hear everybody in the station.
But coming back to your questions here, okay, well, I was watching CNBC after the election in Massachusetts. I just wanted to see them when they turned green, and you know, they were so mad that the Kennedy seat went to a conservative guy. And thank you, Lord. I was so happy, and sooner or later, this Obama agenda is gonna fail anyway. So they're hanging themselves. You know, this is a big political rope for them.
Okay, then can I bring something back to that? Is that the other day when Obama was having his meetings with the GOP, every single station in the nation covered it from beginning to end. Fox covered it for 8 minutes and cut off. It happens on all sides, and I'm just wondering how you can't listen to more than just your side. David's great. He has a little bit of issues, just like the rest of us, with interrupting and stuff like that. But David's great. The new show, What's Left, is amazing. And Saturday Special is my favorite show in history. And I just think that, yeah, we really got to start listening to all of it. And when somebody gets frustrated, don't turn the station off. Don't turn the station off. Go eat something for a few minutes and come back, and maybe they'll calm down. And I really think that everybody has to listen to all sides.
Wow, Tate, thank you very much for saying that your Saturday Special is your favorite program.
It is, and you asked for ideas for future ones, and I would ask for a follow-up to your legalization of marijuana.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll do that.
Yes, I think that was a brilliant show.
We will always do that. Okay, thank you very much for your call to the Saturday Special. That was Tate and Felden. Rory in Watsonville is going to be the next caller after Alex in Nevada. Hello, Alex in Nevada.
Hi, Alex. How are you guys doing?
Wait a minute.
Hi, Alex.
All named Alex here.
I got confused.
No.
I'm Alex.
Yes, Alex.
Hi,
go
David
ahead.
In Zoltan. This question
What about
is for
poor
David.
Old MZ? I'm going to feel left out. What am I, chopped liver?
Alex is a young software engineer. He was he graduated from university. The youngest fellow. Go ahead.
Okay, so my question is, I would like David's reaction to Obama and what he has done for education. Just first David's reaction, then Zoltan's. What do you guys think?
I don't think Obama has done very much for education at this point, and that people who are interested in education probably have some reasons to be disappointed in the Obama administration thus far.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. My turn is that Obama, so far, the only thing I have seen is that he removed some funding from charter schools. In other words, if you wanted to be, you know, have your child to sent to the school where you can get a better education, he actually just pulled the rug out from under those people. So he just wants to be sure that everybody gets equally dumbed down in school. So as far as I can see,
so not only hasn't he done much for education, he's harmed it.
He harmed it. Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Great.
Well, you have to look at whether that's the entire thing that was done. I am always concerned to have one issue like that pulled out of context, because the money that was pulled from one pocket may have gone to another pocket. I don't think you can just look at one thing in isolation and say that, therefore, the man is evil.
Okay, Alex, you have a follow-up question?
Yeah, my follow-up question was that the teachers' union was very opposed to school vouchers, which would, I don't need to explain it. You already know what a school voucher is. What I'm curious is, from the liberals' perspective, what is your reaction to what liberals think of vouchers? Do they agree with the teachers' union?
Who are you asking? Are you asking Alex?
Asking you,
David.
Asking
Zoltan what I believe? I think that if we can protect public education, that a voucher system properly managed and properly run probably has a place in American education. I am not sure that we could go to an all-voucher system, but because I think we'd end up in the process cutting education funding substantially, and then only rich people would get educations and poor people would not. But I'm not opposed on the face of it to some role for vouchers in the American educational system.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, All right. I need to tell people what station they're listening to. It's AM 1080 KSCO. What program they're listening to is the Saturday Special. The best. What did you say the program was? The best Saturday Special is the best program. What?
Ever, I think he said.
I think he did say that.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Swelling with nachas. Yeah. Okay.
Can I ask one more thing to this voucher program?
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm answering emails while you guys are talking.
Yeah. Good. So if there's a competition for education, there's competition for job. Okay. It's competition for for those voucher money, for actually the student education money. Each student in California, I don't know how much, 10,000 or more money they have. I have no idea. So the same amount of money is actually the taxpayers' money. It should be free for the parents to decide, well, I'm going to send my kid to this school or send my kid to charter school. So this way they could provide a lot better education for their children instead of just putting everybody in a public school, which is supported by the teachers' union. And of course, the union gave Obama $60 billion. And that's
$60 billion?
$60 billion. The union, yes.
$60 billion.
No. What I'm telling, that the unions for now gave approximately $60 or $62 billion to the Obama's campaign. Okay.
Did you call it scampaign?
Well, you can call it scampaign too.
That's what I thought you said.
Michael, the entire cost of the presidential race was not $60 billion.
Are you sure of that number, Zoltan?
That was in the Fox report, in several reports.
Oh. Okay, yeah, $60 billion.
Not billion, I'm sorry, million. Did I say
okay,
billion?
Okay, good, 60 million.
Yeah, you said several times.
I'm so sorry, yeah. Okay, so that's my apology. Yeah, $60 million. Okay, so part of the TARP money actually went into to support the unions, you know, in failing states just like California. When Schwarzenegger wanted to cut back, you know, wages, salaries for schools and all these places, Obama actually said, well, we're not going to give you the money and if you cut back on any of these, wage cutbacks for the unions. So practically Obama was blackmailing, California. So that's why I would like to see that if more schools could get voucher systems, private schools, and anybody who wants to go to public school, yeah, they can go there too. But again, there has to be a competition for education, and somebody who's a smarter kid, give them a better education, and because if you just bring them down to the same level where the lowest caliber kids go, then you dumb down the whole system. And you end up with somebody, who cannot even read their own diploma at the end of the education system.
One of the problems, and most of what Zoltan said, I would probably agree with, implemented over an extended period of time.
Mm-hmm.
My concern, though, when you talk about teacher wages, for example, you cannot today hire truly qualified and competent teachers for what we're paying. So if we were to actually pay teachers what teachers are worth and reflect their importance in our society, we would be hiring teachers much higher in the wage scale.
Now, I totally agree with what David E. Corsi has said, and you're nodding your head too, Zoltan.
Yeah,
right?
That's fine. Yeah.
Wow. That's
so the idea that the Obama administration would blackmail the governor to not lower teacher wages in California is, in fact, our wonderful president helping the citizens of California not have a big mistake perpetrated on them by their governor.
David E. Corsi is right again, Zoltan.
Well, not quite. Okay, if you also look at it, who are we teaching? Okay, how many illegals are in this system?
Oh, I forgot about
okay.
that. Yeah.
I tried to get California, and I apologize for interrupting, to talk about the total impact of illegals on the budget of the state of California, and nobody will quite do it. But the numbers that I can piece together are between $3 and $6 billion, and I think Tom Campbell was in the $6 billion range.
Come on, David.
I'm serious.
David, just Los Angeles, the public school system is close to 50% though those are illegal kids. I know people from Tijuana who send their kids, into the California schools right across the border on a daily basis.
I am telling you that I have asked multiple state officials and would-be state officials that include, John, former mayor of Santa Cruz, John. Come on, help me, Michael.
Say it again.
Yeah, John Dale, yeah.
Yeah, in any case, I've asked a number of state officials to quantify for me the impact of illegal immigrants on the budget of California in a negative way, because they pay taxes. They do pay taxes. And it tops out at about $6 billion a year, which in a $100 billion state budget is not that huge an amount of money. I'm not saying that they don't have an impact, but I think there is this default conservative response to immediately say, if it wasn't for these illegals, everything would be okay. And that just isn't so.
They don't say that. They just say the illegals.
It's the first thing they drop
the
in.
No, the borders should be sealed is all they're saying. And I agree. Again, don't you?
But again, the biggest problem we have in the state of California is not the impact of illegal aliens.
Well, this is certainly one of them.
Okay. No question it's one of them. No question it's serious. But it tends to be the first thing that people go to. And it's not, I believe, first in the priorities.
I want to thank new caller Alex in Nevada and thank Rory in Watsonville for waiting. You're on the air, Rory.
Thank you. Great discourse, and I would say to those that are put off by the back and forth or the tete-a-tete, they're intellectually lazy, and maybe they need to go listen to a sports
station.
Well,
some people are really upset because it's not angry enough. I got a text message early.
Angry enough?
Yeah. This was at 10:17 a.m., okay, an hour and a half ago. This is a text message. Stop apologizing and get the cockfight going. We want blood, not oatmeal. That's what it says.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Well, anyway, to my point, David, you asked, and I listen to David, and I believe he's a fair host for the most part, even though I disagree with him on many issues.
And Rory is a wonderful caller.
Well, thanks. But back to the original question, you know, what has Obama done that's socialist or moving us away from a representative republic? And one big thing he did was let GM be taken over by the government instead of letting them go into bankruptcy and go into reorganization. And I think the reason he did that, because it would have led probably to the abrogation of all the union contracts to get the company back on a financial footing that was sustainable for the long run.
That's correct.
And so Obama is a statist. He is a leftist. He's for redistribution of wealth. He stated that in an NPR interview in 2005.
It's what got the whole Joe the Plumber thing going, actually.
Well, listen, I want to make this point. He said, and you can go look it up, he said the courts have not gone far enough in the redistribution of wealth.
That's correct.
Okay, and that the Congress has to do it. In other words, enact laws. Now, my family, we just went through an estate for my parents, okay? We gave a substantial amount of money to the federal government. What I could do with my chunk would stimulate the economy. The federal government's too big. And this goes back to the point earlier about at-large Senate elections in the states. It was never designed to be like that. The state legislatures originally were designed to elect senators, and it should go back to that. These at-large elections are a sham. It is diluted the sovereignty
let's
of the individual
take
state.
Away. Hold on. How would the – hold on. Let's go back to the GM issue. And we will start with, since you're blaming this – on President Obama.
Well, let's, over, yeah.
Hold on. No, but let's go back just a little bit. The Republican National Convention was held when? August before the November election? At that convention, the Republican Party passed a platform that said no bailouts. In September, October, the Republican president, with the support of the Republicans in Congress, started bailing things out.
Yeah, horrible.
Well, I'm just saying that President Obama is merely continuing the policy.
He's accelerating it.
It's not accelerating anymore.
Oh, yeah, look at the budget deficit. It's accelerated.
Well, hold on. No, we're talking about buyouts, though. There have been no more buyouts. We're, in fact, collecting money back from the financial institutions. We would like to use that money for a second stimulus to create jobs, which
bad idea.
I think it's a pretty good idea.
No,
so,
bad idea.
Well, I know, but I think it's a pretty good idea.
$400 billion is yet to be used. That should go back to the Treasury and go back to us for a tax break.
That's correct.
Again,
inheritance tax, David. It's horrible what it's doing.
I am aware that you are upset with your inheritance tax. I've understood that for months, Rory.
Yeah, well, I've never bought a house because I can't afford it. What could I do with the money that the federal government is sucking off and doing who knows what with?
Well, you could have encouraged your parents to do better pre-planning before they died.
That's a long story, and that's not a subject for them. They had an inter vivos trust, okay? They did all their planning. There's just a certain point you got to pay the tax, or you buy a huge insurance policy when you're in your late 70s, which is ridiculous.
Whatever. I'm just saying,
you guys, this was going to happen.
It's wrong. It's the people's money.
Hey, you guys.
Why do you pay taxes on an estate, on the people that developed that estate paid taxes all their lives? So you penalize the...
Why do I pay taxes to support wars I don't like?
Because that's one of the federal government's job is to have... to defend us. That's part of the program. But all these...
Hold on. Who attacked us? Who attacked us in Iraq? I don't remember being attacked by Saddam Hussein.
I'm talking about the specific issue of federal spending on the military. That's a constitutional job for the federal government. Now,
well,
I'm not talking about specific wars.
Collecting taxes is a constitutional job of the federal government.
We want to make sure that we could get to all the callers here on the program.
Yeah, and Rory and I can have this discussion on the show.
Yeah, great discussion. I'm glad you're having it, Michael.
Thank you, Rory. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Rory.
Take care, and thank you for waiting so long. We give priority to new callers, or not as frequent callers, even though our frequent callers are great. They're wonderful, but we want to have some fresh voices, if possible, on the station as much as possible. So it's the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO, hour number two. There's 15 minutes remaining in this program. Zoltan Egarisi and David Corsi are at odds with each other. Not entirely, which is surprising, because I didn't think there would be any common ground.
Well, I give Zoltan the benefit of the doubt. He's a good guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just wanted to go back. You were asking where did Obama fail? Okay, so far I haven't seen anything where he actually succeeded. Okay, he's been trying very hard this whole year.
Undercut what you say. Obama has accomplished things.
Can I finish
things?
Sure,
go right ahead.
All right. So so far his health care, you know, proposal is a total failure. It's nothing more than a black, behind the door, you know, maneuvering by lawyers and hundreds of lawyers and lobbyists. Okay, he wants the cost of this would wreck our economy. He wants to nationalize the healthcare industry, which our people are completely opposed to it, except like, you know, 25-30% of the, you know, the population. And we do not want to have this healthcare system the way it's run in England or Canada or most parts of Europe. That's one of the reasons, like the Newfoundland prime minister is coming here for a heart surgery and not going to any Canadian hospital, because the waiting time for a heart surgery is over 6 months. Right? So he failed in many other places. It's just and he wanted to sign this cap and trade agreement. Okay, went to Copenhagen. It was a total waste of money, total disaster. Because nothing but part of the globalization.
All that's true. Now, do you agree with that, David? About Copenhagen, waste of money.
I agree. Well, you never know when you make an investment if the investment is.
That's
going
not
to
an
turn
investment.
Out.
He wants to turn the U.S. over to the United Nations.
Absolutely not true.
That'll have to be a separate program. I'm sorry, you guys. There's only 14 minutes left.
Yeah, that's
I have this wonderful email from Forrest that I want to read. Actually, it says, "Corsi wants to bitch about your mom criticizing people who voted for Obama. What did the Dems do for the past 8 years? They called us stupid, ignorant, misinformed rednecks for electing Bush. And we're not allowed to criticize Obama voters? It's an attack on democracy? BS.
I did not criticize your mom for criticizing people for it. That wasn't what that commentary was about. That commentary was about criticizing the voters for sending whoever they send to Washington. And it was about the idea that a democracy isn't a really good thing, that we need the state legislatures to be selecting senators. Now, in California, if it's based on a majority vote, who would the Democrats in the state legislature send to the United States Senate? Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein are something not that different from them.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Okay. Let me finish that letter here. It says, we're all entitled to our opinion about elected officials and the people who elect them. Also, remind David about how MCI, WorldCom, and Enron ripped off thousands of shareholders back in the late 90s under Clinton. It didn't come to light until the Bush administration. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter who is in the White House. The government just sucks at regulating because it's too complex and the government is too inept. That's why we conservatives favor putting major limits on the way government regulates, because they often want to stifle those corporations who need less regulation and completely ignore the ones who need it the most. By the way, Corsi is a closet conservative who pretends to be a liberal because someone gave him the idea that the left is intellectually superior. This is a lie. That's the end of that particular email.
I'm glad there's hope for me.
Thank you. And now, have I ever got a fat Saturday special topic for you? Don't read this on the air. If you like the idea, I'd like to put... Oh, it says don't read it on the air. Should I read it on the air?
Well, I can't see what you have.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. I won't read it on... I normally, all you have to do is tell me not to read something on the air to make sure that I'll read it on the air.
Well, maybe that was the intention.
But because we're short for time, I won't read it on the air. Plus, we have a commercial break. And we have Steve in Santa Cruz, Marshall in Santa Cruz, Donald Salinas, Soquel Bob, and Brian in Soquel. And of those people, Brian in Soquel has been waiting the longest on the phone. So we'll put him on now. Brian, you're on the air.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I was actually calling, referring to the topic a few topics back regarding vouchers. My kids are in private school, and one of the concerns I have with vouchers is anything the government gives out as far as money comes with strings attached. And I think the biggest problem with the California schools isn't that not enough money's going into it. It's that the union has pushed for so much administration, and it's endemic throughout government. Administration of everything expands to the point where all the money is toward all these functionaries.
May I ask a question?
Not going to the end.
And
what?
High salaries.
David wants to ask a question. Do it real quickly, though.
Why would classroom teachers push for more administration? Help me understand that.
Why would classroom teachers vote for
more administration? Yeah, the union. The union, classroom teachers union. The big union. The politically powerful classroom teachers. Why would they say, we would like fewer people in the classroom and we want lots more administrators to tell us what to do? When you say the unions, well, there is an administrator.
Doesn't the union represent the administrators also?
There is
so
a different
union. So if you're looking
union.
At the people who were sucking down the big bucks in administration and sucking up all the money, it's still a union, right?
Sucking up, right?
There is a different union, I believe, for the administrators. Over-administration is a major complaint of the classroom teachers.
You know what, you guys? We got too many calls. I want to thank you.
Yes, we do.
No, we don't. Not too many calls. You know what? I'm trying. Brian, thank you.
More calls than you can take.
Right. Yeah. And because we want to. Nikki, yeah. Let's do the commercial thing before. And those of you who are on call, waiting on hold, we promise we'll get to you. It's going to be real short, but we'll get to you. Go ahead.
Take the Palace Challenge this Valentine's Day and get creative. Hello, Charlie Friedman here on behalf of Palace Art and Office Supply in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Take the Palace Challenge for this Valentine's Day and create your own Valentine's greeting for your someone special. Oh, come on, don't be such a fuddy-duddy. Nothing you can buy for him or her will be as special as what you make from the heart. Break out of your comfort zone, get off the lazy boy, and head to Palace Art and Office Supply in Santa Cruz or Capitola for a from-the-heart adventure. Palace has cards and markers, papers and glues, glitters and doilies. Palace probably has 20,000 different things you can use to make the most unique and special Valentine's greeting ever. I guarantee, no matter what kind of Valentine's greeting you make, it will make an impression that will be remembered always. But if you're too timid, don't worry, because Palace also has a huge selection of ready-made Valentine's greetings, and one of them will say what you want to say. Go on, take the Palace Challenge and make your Valentine smile. Palace Art and Office Supply on Pacific Avenue in Santa Cruz and off 41st Avenue in Capitola, a proud member of Think Local First, County of Santa Cruz.
Hi, folks. Warren Knox here of Knox Roofing. You know, there's an old expression, if you can't do it right the first time, how the heck are you going to have time to do it again? Well, that's the philosophy here at Knox Roofing. I've got literally thousands of customers who are definitely set for life when it comes to their roof. So we do all types of roofing and repairs. In fact, we have a pretty nice showroom located at 46 El Pueblo Road in Scotts Valley. There you can see all the things you can do to your roof. Also extras such as skylights, sun tunnels, gutters, insulation, solar information, and of course the Knox Garden Box. What's a Knox box? But if you can't get out and about, just give us a call and we'll bring our goods and services to your home. Free estimates. Okay, give Knox Roofing a call today. 461-0634. 461-0634. Thanks, folks.
If electricity flows through it, you can do it with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman speaking up for the experts of electricity at Santa Cruz Electronics. Listen to what your friends and neighbors do with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Xbox 360 repair.
Solar energy kits for school science project.
Need a splitter.
Four camera shoot.
Musical Tesla coil.
Video output for my home media center.
Building a new server for doctor's office.
Repairing a student radio station.
More RAM.
Hello. I'm Congressman Sam Farr. It's tax time, and individuals who make under $14,000 a year and families making under $49,000 a year can take advantage of free volunteer income tax assistance. These are trained volunteers. They help you claim all your tax credits, including the earned income tax credit, and refunds can take less than 2 weeks. For more information in Santa Cruz, call 460-2359, and in Monterey County, call 211.
If electricity flows through it, you...
It's like Jason and Halloween, that Santa Cruz Electronics ad with Charlie Friedman won't go away. Not that we want it to, but I mean, we don't have to play it three times. I know, you know. It's like you need more arms than an octopus, right? To answer the phones and screen the calls and everything. All righty, Soquel Bob. Soquel Bob, you're on the air. Hello, Soquel Bob.
You started out by talking about regulation.
Yeah.
Regulation has been an American institution ever since Teddy Roosevelt was president when he engaged in trust busting. And I think it's probably, on balance, it's a good thing for enlightened capitalism. Some of the words that are bandied about, liberals, socialists, communists, are bandied about so that there seems to be no differentiation between any of them. I think you'll find, and I know that your guest, Mr. Goldtown, probably wouldn't agree. There's a big difference between what happened behind the Iron Curtain and the various European countries like England and Sweden, Canada, which is not a European country. They have a system which seems to, well, not perfect, seems to work pretty well. I have a niece who lives in Sweden who doesn't seem to be at odds with the type of medical care she gets, and the government pays for all the education. As far as the unions are concerned, all a union contract is a contract between the company and the workers. And it's probably, on balance, it's a good thing if one realizes what the unions have done for this country, which has been positive. Mr. Corsi, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
You're a breath of fresh air on this station. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir.
And I try to listen to you when I can. It's kind of inconvenient to hear you.
He's only on once a week these days, Bob.
I know. Bob, yeah. What'd you say?
He's only on once a week.
Yeah, that's days. Too bad.
Yeah. Well.
MZ?
Yeah, Bob.
Thank you for having Mr. Corey on. Can I say something about the election that your mother talked about, the
Please.
Election of senators?
Please.
The election of senators was brought about because at the time when the state legislatures picked the senators, it got to be such a mess that for a long time the parties were so divided that you only had one senator representing the state instead of two. And one time the senators were so angry at each other that they came to work with pistols and they tried to shoot each other in the legislature. Those are good reasons why the 17th Amendment was passed, so you had a direct election of senators. And your guest isn't going to agree with me, but I think Barbara Boxer is a terrific senator. And I say that because she represents me. As far as legislation is concerned, one problem with the federal Congress is there's no line item veto like there is in the state of California. It was proven to be unconstitutional, not through the court, but through Senator Byrd of West Virginia, who brought it up when it was first introduced. And it violated the concept of the separation of powers, which is written in the U.S. Constitution. Anybody want to respond to what I'm talking about?
Go ahead.
Enjoy Barbara Boxer through the next election, and she'll be voted out.
I hope not, but one reason for that would be your Tea Party people.
Good. As far as you're concerned,
I don't blame you for feeling the way you do. You're a refugee from an Iron Curtain country, which is fairly typical. But don't compare what you had in Hungary with what's happening in England and Sweden and Norway.
And what about here?
And so forth, because not the same thing. It has its faults, but it seems to work pretty well.
But isn't the camel getting its nose under the tent, Bob, here?
What camel?
The communist, socialist, you know, non-freedom.
There's a big difference between communism and socialism. And I could go into that, but that would probably...
Bob. We got you and I. It's high time we went to lunch, and it's high time that you came on the Saturday special. Will you?
I won't come on the Saturday special, but I'd like to talk to you in private sometime. I've got a lot of things I'd like to say to you.
Okay.
I still feel a strong friendship personally for you, Michael.
Ditto. It'll always be that way. Thanks for calling, Bob. Really appreciate it, okay? Sarah in Corralitos, real quick, you're the last call on the Saturday special. Apologies to Marshall and Dawn. Go ahead, Sarah, you're on.
Yes, this call's for David, and I heard part of the call on the discussion earlier, and then I missed a portion, and it sounds like I'm good. This might be a little bit of a repeat,
yeah.
But
please,
David,
hurry, because there's only about 20 seconds left.
David,
please.
Are you there?
We're already into the news, Michael.
I know we are. Go ahead.
David, just wanted to thank you for being on the show. I am a conservative, but I want to tell you how much I appreciate your passion. You make us think about our political kind of direction, and it's good to hear you. It's good to hear the other side. It's easy to get hysterical when you just, are speaking to the choir. And again, I want to basically say just what the last gentleman said. You are a breath of fresh air, and I do hope you stay on the show. Again, I don't always agree with you, but you have helped me to see many views that I have not looked at. So thanks again for being on the show. And I
think David does a fabulous job. I can't imagine anybody doing a better job of representing that perspective.
Absolutely.
We can go straight to O2, Michael.
Yeah.
We can go another 50 seconds.
Okay, thank you very much. We might as well just go to O2. That's good. Sarah, thank you very much. Zoltan, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for being here.
Yeah, and thank you, David.
Zoltan's a great guy and conservative. I agree with him probably on more things than he knows.
And you actually do have Vernon on just about every week, and Vernon's pretty conservative.
Hold on, and Rory's a caller, and I'm happy to talk to conservatives, and I don't believe that my views are the only ones that should prevail.
Okay.
We need both sides.
Oh, thank God. Okay. That's it. Okay.
That's all, folks.
It's KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. We join Fox News and Progress
News Radio. Fair and balanced.
They've taken your money. Now Fox Business Network is taking them to task. Every weeknight at 7 p.m. Eastern, David Asman hosts a special series on America's Nightly Scoreboard. Tune in for exclusive reports and hard-hitting investigations that challenge Washington and expose the latest corporate corruption. You will not want to miss this nightly show when David and his team of expert reporters keep score on the issues that affect your future. Bottom line, you have questions, and only one show keeps fighting for you to get the answers. America's Nightly Scoreboard with David Asman, only on the Fox Business Network.
Do you believe in the freedom of the press, thought, speech, and worship? If your answer is yes, join the online community where you can finally be heard, thefoxnation.com. Fox Nation allows you to be a part of the tradition that has made America great. It's time to say no to biased media and yes to fair play and free speech. Be a part of the real news of America and join the online community that believes in the right to express your views, values, and voice. Join thefoxnation.com now.
Tomorrow is the unofficial national holiday known as Super Bowl Sunday. And in Miami, where the Colts and the Saints will face off, the excitement level is rising. Let's go there live to Fox News Radio's Jeff Manasso.
And Chris, several excited Saints fans are summing up their experience here in South Florida.
Every day's a party. It's great.
But what better way to come to the Super Bowl than by boat, like these Colts fans from Noblesville, Indiana.
The name of the boat is the Naughty Four. There's four of us involved with the boat, and we're all naughty.
The Naughty Four, donning team flags, cool drinks in everyone's hand, and they're definitely partying like rock stars here all the way up until game time, when the focus turns to the business of bringing the Vince Lombardi Trophy home. Chris?
All right, thanks, Jeff. The polls close at 8 this evening in New Orleans, where voters are picking a new mayor to replace Ray Nagin, who became a familiar figure during the Hurricane Katrina disaster. He can't run again due to term limits. At Daytona, the Automobile Racing Club of America is providing a new first for Danica Patrick.
With the Indy Drivers ARCA debut, fans and fellow competitors getting their first real chance to see how Patrick performs behind the wheel of a stock car. Her experience with them so far limited to a test session in December and a handful of practice laps recently. Patrick plans on taking part in several more stock car races before the 2010 season is out, but she'll be pulling double duty. And for now, Patrick says her top priority is her full-time ride in IndyCar and that she still wants to win an Indianapolis 500. Lillian Wu, Fox News Radio.
That race is starting about an hour and a half. 30-year-old Megan LaBoy has fessed up. The former Trenton, New Jersey area social studies teacher saying, yes, it's true. She told her students they'd get extra credit in exchange for cash donations, which she said would go to charities, but which actually went into her pocket, $200 to $500 per student. Under a plea deal with prosecutors, she'll likely get probation, but she won't be able to get a job or run for any office in the public sector in New Jersey. I'm Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I am Nikki James, and I've got your forecast here for the weekend. Today we've got rain and thunder, likely high of 56, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Possibly about a half inch of rain today. Tonight we'll also get some rain and thunder, low of 44, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday, partly cloudy, high of 59, northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, the southeast winds 5 to 15 knots with occasional gusts to 25. Wind waves 2 to 3 feet, and they'll become less than 2 feet later in the afternoon with a west swell of 6 to 8 feet at 12 seconds, showers, and a slight chance of thunderstorms. Tonight, northwest winds 10 to 15 knots, wind waves 2 to 3 feet, west swell 8 to 10 feet.